Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly with us this morning. We'll talk city stuff. Matt, good to see you. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing good. Glad to have you here. We kind of do this every year. I usually get you in, and if it works out, the last week, and in some years you close out the year for the show. We're not doing that this year, but we are going to. We'll get into some of the issues coming up. But
let me answer one question. I'm going to get and just get it out of the way right now. No, I have not finished my Christmas shopping. Okay, we got that out of the way. Let's move on.
How close are you to finishing it, though?
Probably another. I don't know.
Probably
another day or two.
I did most of my Christmas shopping actually, and finished it all in downtown Fredericksburg this year.
I do try to do as much shopping in the city as I can. I did not go and take the easy way out called Amazon. I just really thought I'd better.
I went down and I did what guests are always telling me: go talk to the shop owners, and it worked. Got some,
yeah,
I got some
local
things. So shop local, and now there are a number of things, certain places downtown. Start off before we get into looking back and then and looking ahead. Looking back about a week ago, City Council you had a vote on the Jannie Marshall the coffee warehouse there in the Lofts at Frederick Street is what that's going to be called.
Ouch. Yes,
that's going to be a long public hearing and a lot of talk about that. As I watched it, it's the type of project. In some ways, it's like an only in Fredericksburg kind of thing, where you have the old and the new. It's an interesting. You have to deal with these things a lot of times of trying to squeeze. In that case, you're dealing of trying to put something new into an area where it's in the floodplain and try to protect that building.
Well, it's not an issue of necessarily new; it's the issue of how big the new was. Now, it was a unique situation for us from the standpoint of it's the first time we've had to deal with new development and rehab in the same on the same site.
Yeah,
and you know, my background in the insurance industry and rebuilding things gives me kind of a little bit of some expertise in the cost of rehab. And I've been actually involved in rehabbing historic buildings in the past. And it is an extremely expensive process. And this really did come down to a decision of scale and massing or protecting the building.
Yeah.
The developer, in this case, Mike Adams, made it clear and gave the ARB the option and said, listen, if you want this scaled back and this floor taken off, let me tear down the coffee warehouse so I have that extra space, one, two, and I don't have that expense on top of everything else. And it really did. The ARB was correct in their decision based on their criteria. The building is rather large. I think a lot has been done to mitigate that impact. But I did think that maintaining the coffee warehouse was an important thing for the city to do, and we were able to work through it. And now, as I said on Tuesday evening, you really need to learn from every decision we make. That was a tough decision to make. It could have gone either way. Now what we have to do is say, what do we need to be doing to prepare ourselves better in the future in dealing with projects like this? And I think it really is time for us to look at the historic district and how we do things. Another thing that will be happening later today is meeting with the University Preservation Department and talk about how they can bring some of their expertise to help us out with regards to future planning in the historic district, architectural standards in the historic district. There's some expertise at the university with regards to how to and what the current expertise is in redeveloping and reworking and repairing historic buildings. And you know, how can we take that knowledge and bring it into play for the city's benefit? And also, we've had a fund for years and years that was set up for rehab that we've really not spent a lot of it. Can we take some of that money and shift it over to the ARB so they can have expertise brought in when they need it? You know, the point here is, what can we do on the front end of the discussion to make life easier for everybody? Either just come back and tell the developer right away, this isn't going to work, or, hey, we can do this, but and what the trade-offs are and how we can save money. But ultimately, to me, this really comes down to an issue of, you know, we've just voted in this year with regards to breweries, with regards to very large buildings, basically giving back over time millions of dollars of potential tax revenues. Why can't we do that for preservation? If we see a situation like with Mike Adams' project and say, Mike, we want that third floor down, you know, to the, how's that affect your bottom line? Because again, this is an issue of he's developing a project. It's the way our economy works. It's the way our nation was set up. He gets to make some money on his investment. And if we really want some changes made, or we as a community feel that preservation is important enough that we would basically say, all right, we will give you a tax abatement. We'll take care of this, this, or this to basically put some skin in the game.
Yeah. No, that way everybody wins.
You would think so. This is another one of those discussions that we need to have as a community. What are our goals with regards to preservation in the city? What are we willing to do to make it happen? And to be successful, other than bringing the expertise, and we're going to start those conversations today, hopefully they'll bear fruit with the university and getting their assistance. But also at some point it is going to come down to on some of these projects. If we want it smaller, we want it to fit in a little bit better. Understanding that down in the historic district, you've got floodplain issues, you've got permanent planning issues, you know, access for fire and police, things that in the 18th and 19th century they really didn't have to deal with, which was part of the conversation with that particular project was, well, it's so much bigger than all the other houses around it. Well, all the other houses around it went built when there was no floodplain regulations, there were no offsets, there were no setbacks, and all the other things that you got to deal with.
Well, and you think about if that area gets redeveloped, and over in the Mill District, if some of that takes place, a lot of those areas of the city that have just kind of become run down, you're looking at some big changes.
One of the things that's killing the city on a number of levels is just land prices are out of this world in the city. So to buy a lot in the city compared to buying, you know, you could buy a quarter lot in the city, you can buy 4 or 5 acres probably out in the county somewhere and build. So, you know, there's a lot of costs that are now in play in the city that somehow we've got to deal with and be realistic about dealing with in some form or fashion. I mean, this goes also to affordable housing. Even if we build an apartment in the city, we still have an average one-bedroom apartment rent of over $1,000 a month, which, you know, as much as we have some people bitching and complaining about, you know, how terrible apartments are, frankly, those apartments aren't very affordable in the city either. And that's something we have to deal with.
No, for a lot of people who would like to live in the city, it is tough.
It's also an issue, and I know there's some of my friends out there who goes, you know, it's not our responsibility to, you know, provide for people and da-da-da-da-da. I have an issue with that. But even if you take it to police, fire, school teachers, people you want to be able to live in the community, want to be able to stay in the community, because frankly, the city's never going to compete on the salary level in some of these areas over time. So what else can we do? And one of the best things we can do is if a person who, you know, lives in his community, becomes part of the community, is less likely to leave that community. And, you know, right now, most of our police officer and firemen don't live within the city limits.
It's surprising you get to know some of these people. They're living in King George and Carolina.
They're living in King George, they're living in Carolina, Orange County. I mean, we're all over the place. And that really isn't a really good situation.
You do see that. And then a lot of times it plays out. And all the localities are dealing with in a lot of you train a lot of these officers.
North, you know,
and then they're in Prince William.
You know, Stafford hires from us because they got hired. Their people got hired away to Prince William, who got hired away to.
Yeah.
And it goes on. And we did. And I've mentioned this before. We at one point a few years back had to send a letter to Stafford County to tell them to stop hiring away our firemen because it was causing a real public safety issue in the city.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know it's everywhere, but I know the city's having a real issue.
Housing is a big component of that discussion and getting people to develop community roots and enjoying the quality of life and other benefits here. And I just did a ride-along on Friday night with the police department, which I do periodically just to see what's going on with the troops, and I'll go with the fire department in a week or two. You know, and finding out that, you know, this particular officer moved from Prince William County just because he wanted to be, you know, his wife was from here and she wanted him closer by than having to commute up north all the time. And took a significant pay cut to do that. So I think this really comes down to, on a number of issues, we have a total, uh, oversimplify things so much to try to explain it to the public or an election materials and stuff. And a lot of these issues are very – there's a lot more to it and a lot more thought has to be put into it than what we seem to be doing,
yeah,
both at the state, local, and federal level.
Yeah. City Councilman Matt Kelly here. We will continue when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. We're going to look back and look ahead. I guess as to look back, a couple of things. We always talk transportation. I was trying to think, is there anything this year that's happened in transportation that we can look upon and just say, that was good? And I can't.
This is part of the problem we have, and this year was a good example of it. That you can make the case that this region received a lot more funding with the Gateway Project on 95,
yeah,
first round of Smart Scale, that in under the current dynamic of transportation in Virginia, we did pretty well. I'll tell you that. If you look at it from the perspective of, is it really helping the transportation problems we have in our region? Clearly no. And that's part of the problem we have, is we have a tendency as elected officials and to be very, you know, any little thing that happens, it's, oh, wow, look what we did.
Yeah.
As opposed to, did this really have a significant impact on what's going on? We extended the hot lanes a few miles, had a big ribbon cutting ceremony.
Yep.
And everybody was going, clap, 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 clap. Isn't this great? Isn't this freaking wonderful? And boom, we have now moved the congestion down 2 miles, and it's still backing up and still a problem getting across the river.
Which we had that very discussion here when that happened.
Right. So, and now we're having it with regards to the discussions looking a little bit ahead coming into the coming year, and we can talk, I know you want to talk about how this change in Richmond is going to affect us. The northbound project, which, you know, frankly, I think we as a region at this point, understanding the funding dynamic's not going to change anytime soon.
Yeah.
We need to just get out of the interstate business. Let the state and the feds worry about that. But VDOT is so paranoid now about, and the state level paranoid about, no, we got to show that Smart Scale is still working. So you have to bring northbound back for funding. It's not going to get funded.
Yeah.
But now the plan is, well, we just got to reduce the cost. Well, wait a minute. We spent years coming up with a plan for 95 that we hoped would benefit, take care of congestion, safety, and all these issues. Now, instead of looking at what we need to be doing to deal with congestion, everything's based on the budget. So when we had FAMPO on Monday night, I asked Marcy Parker, our VDOT guru here in our district, you know, we've already from the first time we submitted the northbound project to the second round, we reduced the cost because everybody's trying to get the cost down.
Yeah.
Now we're going to do it again. What point do you go where you've reduced the project to such a size that you're going to spend millions of dollars and have absolutely no impact whatsoever?
Right. You
might as well not build it.
Yeah.
As much as I'm happy that we did get the southbound project done, the discussion now is twofold. And we have not yet gotten a really straight answer on this yet either. Well, now that we're building the new lanes in the middle between the north and southbound, it's how's that going to impact future hot lanes, which, you know, whether they come or not is another discussion, but how's that going to impact that? And initially it was, oh, that's not going to impact it. Now it's, well, we just can't tell you really what we'll be able to build or what it'll look like if we build hot lanes. And then with the northbound project potentially going in there, you know, how badly are we affecting that? But more importantly, with the way that the southbound's been redesigned, we're going to go from 6 lanes to 3 lanes. Let me say that again. We're on 95. We're going to go from 6 lanes to 3 lanes.
How is that going to work?
At some point, that is going to fail miserably itself.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to extend or do something to at least put in a 4th lane, which we're now looking at.
Yeah.
But when that was brought up to VDOT, it goes, no, it'll be fine for a while. Be honest with us and let us know what's going on with these things.
Because we see what happens.
And so, again, we have this tendency to declare success. We've kicked the can down the road a few years, and that's it. And looking forward, I know the Governor McAuliffe just put out his budget, and everybody's going, wow, there's new money for this. There's money now for VRE, additional funding for VRE. There's additional funding for PRTC. And you really look at it, all they're really doing is moving money around. They're not creating new money.
Yeah.
So to do these things means other things aren't going to get done. So I'm kind of going – now, he is recommending and the gas tax floor be set at the 2013 level for local gas tax. That's a good thing. I think that – I'll give him credit for that. But everything that's coming out of the General Assembly right now is really either just moving money around. We had somebody come in and we track access fees for VRE, which is a big cost. And 2 years ago or so, the state said, we're going to guarantee you we're going to pay 84% of your track access fees. Now, because of the fiscal cliff in 2020, basically all the money that we passed in the 2013 legislation stopped in 2020. And unless the General Assembly deals with that, everything comes to a screeching halt. And so somebody's putting legislation forward. I'm not going to get into the whole party thing or anything else like that. I'm just going to give you the overall view so people can focus on it. Stop looking at D's and R's, people, and start looking at what really is happening. And somebody's putting legislation forward saying, hey, guys, I'm doing something really great for you. I'm putting legislation and says the state will guarantee that they will cover their 84% track access fees. Okay. That just means there's a few million dollars that's going to be sucked into that and not be able to help in 95 or something
else.
Nobody's really dealing – neither side is really dealing with the fundamental issue of transportation, which is funding. And to my friends in Spotsylvania County, I'm not necessarily just saying we got to raise taxes and things. I'd be more than happy if the General Assembly actually sat down, which they've never done under either party, and looked at what their priorities should be and what they should be spending money on and getting serious about it. You know, do that first. Go to VDOT, who has the most cumbersome Byzantine process for moving a project forward, and review that and change that. And then we can talk about how much new money we have, and then we can have the discussion of do we need to raise fees and stuff. Because, again, if 95 continues down the road it's going now, and there's no indication that's going to change, even with some of these newer projects, economic development opportunities go away, mm-hmm. quality of life declines, businesses move out, and – basically, what I'm telling the public is you can pay a little bit now talking about the Transportation Authority, because if the state and the feds aren't going to step up the plate, somebody's got to do it. You can pay a little bit now, or you can pay a whole lot later down the road when everything really goes south for the winter. Because at the end of the day, the only one thing that we can do as local officials is tax locals through real estate and things of that nature, which means your real estate taxes go up through the roof. Because we have no new businesses. We've lost business opportunities. Tourism goes down, which is already happening.
Well, and for the past 15 years, we've been having these same discussions, and it's gotten to the point now. Last Saturday, I had to be up in Stafford by about 4:30 to get from Five Mile Fork to 95. Took almost an hour with traffic. And as I sat there, I thought, for local officials who've promoted, well, all we need to do is time the lights better, and we'll take care of this. That's not working.
Timing lights will last for maybe a year, if that long.
And that's what it did.
That's not it's or all we have to do is bring jobs down here and everything will be good.
Right.
You can bring 100,000 jobs down here and it's still not going to have the impact you think it's going to have. One, two. By the way, to be able to absorb those 100,000 jobs somewhere, you've got to redo the transportation system to be able to deal with all those cars locally, which is another issue we have. I'm not saying that bringing jobs to the region is it's a good thing to do, and we should be focusing on doing that. But it is not the solution. Again, the biggest problem we have on any issue right now – well, now we have two problems. One is we oversimplify. And, you know, mm-hmm. if we can't say it 25 words – every solution is 25 words or less, and that never works. And, of course, the other one is we take the issue and we basically beat each other over the heads with it because we want our party to win over the other party. So instead of trying to solve issues and problems, we go ahead and say, well, your position is so bad, and look what he's trying to do to you, or look what she's trying to do to you. And, you know, this has just got to – at some point, this has really got to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, so pox on both their houses, as far as I'm concerned.
I didn't realize – because you mentioned a few minutes ago about 2020 and money.
Oh, yeah. We're
– because I thought when the last big transport – you know,
that
kicked
us down that 5 years.
And that's – yeah, because that was passed because
and
was going to happen.
And that's what we do. And my guess is – and this will be very interesting to see, especially now with the dynamics in the General Assembly – is – traditionally, what ends up happening is the pressure gets so bad, they'll kick the can down about 5 years. The problem is each time we do that, it's harder and harder to dig out of it. And this time they're going to have to come up with some serious changes to be able to – I mean, right now, and I've said this before, VRE, even with the current funding levels, you know, 3% increase in tickets every other year, 3% increase to jurisdictions every other year, no increase in service, we hit a brick wall in 2032.
Yeah.
With the fiscal cliff and everything else that's going on now, we will have to start basically dismantling VRE in about 4 or 5 years if there's no big discussion and change to that dynamic of funding. Or, again, process. If you want to save money by streamlining and spending money better, which I wouldn't be opposed to either. But we've got a serious, serious problem here. And the other, and I'm going to say something that's probably going to give me a little trouble. And I kind of sense this was going to happen. As soon as, with the changes that are happening in the General Assembly, we're now suddenly focused on things like Medicare, Medicaid expansion, and things of that nature,
yeah.
Which, you know, we can have that conversation. But the bottom line is there is so much with regards to education, with regards to transportation and infrastructure that the state is woefully behind on. And these are core services, you know, these public safety, transportation, education. Focus on those. Get those up and running. And then we can talk about other things. But no, now we're going to go into a long, drawn-out debate on something while, you know, the roads keep getting congested, mm-hmm. the funding is going down, you know what, and there's no legislation that's been brought forward in this next General Assembly that, frankly, is going to have any significant impact on transportation funding and or moving transportation projects forward.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here. That to be continued. We've done whole shows on parking, or we have done shows on parking.
Find something nice to talk about.
But it is the road situation does not get any better, and we're not headed toward happy things. But we'll try to find some happy things before we get out of here this morning. Matt Kelly here. We'll continue on News Talk 1230 WFEA. It is 8:31.
Okay, listen. We got to talk about something.
Talk. Done right. News Talk 1230 WFBA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFBA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFBA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning. It's an election year in the city. You're not up, but
ward seats are up.
The ward seats. So that will be interesting. Boy, the budget every year gets more and more interesting for area locales and for the city, because you got just a number of things, whether it's schools or water quality, parking.
I think what gets kind of lost in the discussion and not talked enough with the public is there's a lot of things that are not glamorous. You know, we have a tendency to focus on new schools. We have a tendency to new trail opening. We have these type of things. But, you know, right now we're looking at, you know, water quality issues, the federal and state regulations on that potential cost briefed to the council over the next few years will be between $10 and $20 million. Mm. You have the school system telling us that they need a new school, chuck in about another $20, $25 million, you know, on that issue. And then, you know, just basic maintenance of equipment, purchasing new equipment and things of that nature is a problem. And all these, you know, we talk about big numbers with capital, but the real aspect of these things that impacts the city, of course, is the operational costs. And then, as we touched on a little bit earlier, you know, we're having a lot of stress with our police and fire departments. Again, I went out with them, and now we've gone from an 8-hour to 12-hour shifts and things of that nature. And you know, we've really got to start focusing in on that. Public safety is a primary concern of any local government.
Yeah.
We really do. It looks like we really need to spend some time looking at that. And we're also looking at a third fire station. So, you know, there's a lot of things that are coming forward that we really need to look at. And in some cases, with regards to the water quality issues, we have to. I mean, that's mandated. We can't say, oh, you know, as we have a tendency to do on occasions in some of these hard topics, oh, we'll just push that down a few years. We can't do that. And right now, our debt on the city, I mean, we are in good financial situation compared to most, but we don't see a dip in the debt until 2030. And now we're going to add potentially a school, blah, 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 you know, these things onto that. So we're looking at some fiscal stress. you know, coming down the road. And then we want to do all these other things. We want to do $5 million riverfront parks, and we want to do more of this, and we want to do this. And, you know, frankly, we've really got to sit down and look at what we have to do as opposed to what we really would like to do, and say, you know what, we got to do these things. Let's focus on that. And when we can get to the others, we can get to the others.
Well, and this, you just, I guess you've just, the work, the sewer work downtown, that was, you know, one of those non-glamorous things, but you had to do it.
Well, the interesting thing about water and sewer was my very, very first meeting with department head was with Doug Fawcett in 2002. And I said, so Doug, what's the biggest issue you see the city has on its plate? And he says, we've got the most antiquated water and sewer system, and it's going to have to take, it's going to take years and millions and millions and millions of dollars to, you know, to get to correct that. Yeah. And we're still in the process, and we still got a ways to go. You know, back to the point of not glamorous, not any big golden shovel, you know, moments, cutting ribbons and everything else, but it's a cost that we have to take care of. And in all the discussions that we have, especially, and I would ask people to think about this now that we're going into campaign season, you know, these are the questions you need to ask. You know, what do we really need to have to do and spend money on, and tell us what that is? Don't just keep coming to us and say, hey, wow, we want to do this, and we want to, you know, we want to cut this ribbon, we want to shovel this, you know, golden shovel moment type stuff, and really focus in on, frankly, the nitty-gritty of day-to-day, providing you make sure the water turns on, and it's hot and cold, it's safe to drink, that you're safe on the streets. If you call an ambulance, it's there when it should be there. A fire truck is there when it needs to be there. You know, those are the things, frankly, we're seeing some stress on and we need to deal with.
A new fire station, where I'm trying to think where, is out by Central Park? Would it be over
well,
that way?
Well, originally we had a deal, as part of our agreement on Celebrate Virginia, we've already got a site given to us, and it's already been pretty much a lot of the site work done on it in Central Park. But now we're going to be getting a report, I think, next month that says, well, maybe that's not the right place to put it.
Yeah.
What's going to be interesting to me when I look at the study is, and again, as you know, I have not been thrilled with the studies that we've done recently, parking coming to the top of the list. But GWRC, George Washington Regional Commission, did a study a few years ago, which was very interesting, that's kind of gone away, which is, don't look at jurisdictional boundaries, just look at regions. Where's the existing EMS facilities? Where's the existing fire stations? Look at response times, 2 minutes, 8 minutes, 12 minutes, blah, blah, and see where it makes sense to put stations to cover the entire region instead of just the jurisdiction. So we might put a fire station in Lower Caroline County that can also take care of southern Spotsylvania County. Mm-hmm. You know, we should be looking at ways to regionalize some of this where it makes more sense for everybody. But, you know, that's – my guess is that's not been part of this discussion.
Yeah.
Regard, I think the city's like, where do we need to put it to best service the city?
The city, right.
And I think we need to look at it a little bit differently.
Well, and you've brought that out in a number of things with courts and things like that.
For the city of Fredericksburg, and we're about to hire another thing. You know, Tim Ware is retiring July 1st, so we need a new executive director for GWRC. And we had our first meeting, and that's one of the things I brought out. For the city – regionalism is critically important to the future of the city. We cannot continue, nor can we compete with, in certain areas, of providing services, and we need to do more regionally. And I do think the counties are coming to understand that, you know, maybe it's a good time to really start looking, I'm hoping anyway, looking at things regionally also.
Now, because you think of areas where Spotsylvania has some fire stations, and there's, it's, you know, that they could.
Well, it's fire stations. It could be police services. And one of the things we were talking about with regards to the school system is, you know, we all have special ed students. You know, could we do a regional facility, mm-hmm. which frankly has a better opportunity to get state and federal funding? That's a big cost for us. You know, what can we look at that makes sense for all of us? And it's tough to get beyond your jurisdictional loyalties, but frankly, we've got to do it.
Well, City Councilman Matt Kelly here this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. With schools, in thinking of the schools that most likely need to replace, I guess Hugh Mercer is that one?
Well, actually, Hugh Mercer is actually doing better than everybody thought. We just got the latest figures on growth, but they're still looking if we build another elementary school with different and change the grade configurations, then we can pull a grade, drop a grade back from New Walker Grant, and it'll impact everything. And that's what they would like to do. You know, but it's still, you know, you're looking at $20+ million. You're operationally, you know, teacher wise, hopefully we'd be able to move people around. But you know, that's a big chunk of money on top of everything else. And we have, we're, I guess, starting next month, we'll start a working group between council members and school board members to start looking farther on down the road and what's coming down for the schools and what the city's facing. And I think there needs to be a meeting of the minds between the school board and the council on what we're facing overall in the future and try to get things in line, because, you know, superintendent at the last meeting says, I'm telling you right now, we're going to need $1 million every year, new money. We can't sustain that. There's absolutely no way we can sustain that.
Yeah.
So there needs to be some discussion about how we're going to deal with some of these issues. That's just the reality is that we are, unless everybody wants their taxes to go through the ever-loving roof. That's an unsustainable model.
And the other thing that ties into this, you some of these projects, if they build out and you get more people coming in and you get more revenue, but then you can also then get more students and you run into that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and if a school board member was sitting here and they would go, hey, you know, you're building the apartments, you're building townhouses, the more kids are coming in, everything else like that. Fine, I understand that discussion, but the fact of the matter is I can't tell somebody they can't develop their property.
Yeah.
I mean, this is happening, whether we like it or not. I can't go and say, okay, because of the impact on the schools, we're not going to allow any more building. Can't do that. So we got to deal with it. We need to understand the realities of it. We need to, again, I think the city council and the city school board have the best relationship than any of the other jurisdictions around here. We've always tried to hard work together. And I think if we can be honest with it and upfront with each other about what we're facing and how we're dealing with it, I think we can come up with some good ideas. I think we've got that kind of relationship with them that we can have that conversation.
Well, one of the things, at least, and I'm as we try to think of something to close the year on, you know,
something happy?
Something happy. I sense, I mean, there are, and whether it's through social media or just in media, there has been more people coming and engaging council with issues and talking through things.
No, I think it's great when people come, whether they agree with
me or not.
Because
we've talked about that. Sometimes
you know, 2002, 2004 time frame for me was just a great time to be an elected official, because it was just a knockdown drag out
of
the
city.
It was just fantastic.
Every meeting.
I enjoyed it. I really do. I like the give and take and the discussions. We're not quite back there yet. And I think, frankly, the council is doing a bit of a disservice, because we're not being as informative as we can to the public. You know, we just voted something as simple as variable message signs. And, well, we're voting against it because it's inappropriate. And, okay, what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
And, okay, give me an example. You know, pick any sign you want to. Not an answer. I mean, it's just – or my all-time favorite is we're doing it because we can. That one was – we need to be more upfront with the public, one, what we're dealing with, and two, when we take a vote, be a little bit more expansive in our comments as to I'm voting for this because da-da-da-da-da-da-da, instead of, oh, it's a good project, I'm voting for it. Oh, it's a bad project, I'm not voting for it. Oh, this is a difficult vote, so I'm voting against it.
Yeah.
And that's basically what the level of dialogue is right now. And I know I get accused of talking a lot, which I'm doing now. But that's my role, to inform the public as much as I can so they understand where I'm coming from. And I don't think we're doing a very good job of that.
City Councilman Matt Kelly is here. We're going to wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
City Councilman Matt Kelly here. I do have one. I was going to tell you, Matt, as we wrap it up this morning and talk about to come up with something good. John Hennessy was in the other day, and we got talking about Ferry Farm, and he made the comment that what's going on at Ferry Farm historically he thought was the most significant thing to happen in this area since the creation of the Park Service. Just the history that's there and just the people that are going to come in. And that will help the city. That's going to help the region.
Well, no, it'll help the city. It'll help the region. And we as local government need to and we're working on, as you know, on kind of tourism-related issues. But we really need to focus in on that because for the city, that's the one thing we have that really defines mm-hmm. us, makes us different than a lot of areas. And we need to spend a lot more time talking about, you know, tourism than necessarily, you know, breweries and more restaurants and everything else like that.
Yeah.
And hopefully we will begin to have those conversations. But I do want to say, you know, the city is in good shape. We have gotten things accomplished with regards to trails, with regards to infrastructure and things. So we're not in the imminent collapse or anything else. But I guess my biggest frustration after doing this for a number of years is we just kind of muddle through and push things a year and then another year. And there's kind of a lack of, one, a long-term looking at mm-hmm. – really looking down the road and saying, what are we going to be as a city? And, two, I wish we would be a lot more – proactive in dealing with the public. I think we need to be more proactive in dealing with what's happening around us, especially with regards to economic development, tourism. You know, we still have this tendency of, okay, what's coming down the pike? You know, we're working on incentives again, but I don't see where it's really changing anything unless we're going to go out and use them to recruit and things of that nature, which we'll have a meeting with the city manager here hopefully soon to continue that discussion. Because we have an incentives policy, but everybody else does too. So what are we going to do that's different than everybody else if we're really serious yeah. about bringing the jobs here and things of that nature? So now the city's in good shape and we have some good people in place. Again, my frustration is more has to do with how we're handling things and the lack of long-term vision, the lack of really engaging the public in this conversation.
Councilman Fry, a few meetings ago, mentioned it. There was some truth to it about conversations about not being able to find parking is a good conversation to have. It does show that the people are downtown and shopping and want to be around.
And I don't necessarily disagree. You know, the classic, you know, every locality wishes they have the problems we yeah. have. And I can, to a point, it's just that we've been having this conversation about parking for decades.
Yeah. yeah.
We still haven't dealt with it. And are not dealing with it, frankly. And again, my opinion, I do realize I'm not the majority on that one. But, you know, it's just we need to look at things broadly, stop looking at them just locally in our little piece of the woods or one little project and looking at that project in a fishbowl. We've got to look at its impacts overall. We've got to look at its impacts in the region. We need to understand what's going on in the region. And that's things that we're not very good at doing.
I guess in the short term, the getting ready for another budget year is once the calendar turns, that's the next
right,
item
already,
to deal
we're
with.
We're already starting conversations right on the budget. And again, it'll because it's an election year, that means no tax increase. I think that's probably some good news I'll throw out there
yeah.
right away, is if I understand it. Don't necessarily agree with that, but that's what we do. But there are some things that we really do. I know from the past few weeks of discussions that we really do need to look at public safety a lot harder and where that's going to go in the long term and also get us back to providing a level of service that the community needs to have. And that's going to involve some tough discussions in a lot of areas to get us to that point.
Now, I was having a conversation the other day with someone who's been in this area for a long time but hadn't been paying attention at all to what had been going on with local governments and as we talked about it. And I always go back and think of – Joe Wilson always tells the story of there in the not-too-distant past when the city was struggling and it never came up, but there was always the fear that the city might revert to town status, and that never happened. And you see some localities around the state the size of Fredericksburg are struggling with, and we don't have that here.
And we're going to continue to struggle with those issues. And do we try to deal with them now and look down the road and understand that in our case we have to do more regionally? For example, you know, that's what the questions we should be asking right now is let's not wait as we normally do for the crisis to come. What are we going to do to avoid that ever happening again?
Boy, you look at some of the things that happened in Charlottesville and other places around the country. Several people over the last week, I've told people I think the best show of the past year on this show was the morning you and Councilman Fry were on and talked that issue through, and both totally opposite but had a civil conversation.
And I think we're in a position to do that, and that's a conversation that needs to continue.
Yeah,
it's for us, especially in Fredericksburg. There's so many aspects of that conversation with regards to tourism and there's regards to the issue of civil rights and things of that nature that we have to grapple with and kind of come together as a community. And I do believe that we have a community that can pull that conversation off.
Downtown seems the whole Fredericksburg downtown group, or Main Street in all, has walking the downtown the night of the parade, and you look around and you think the downtown sure has changed.
It's changed, and also the good news is having trying to get my Christmas shopping done.
You've got a place right there.
I've got, and I was downtown actually yesterday talking to some of the merchants, and they said it's been a pretty good year, better than last. So things are hopefully looking up downtown, and we're getting back to where we were.
Well, Matt, it's been a good year. Thank you for you always come in. You always say before we start, you'll always say you ask me anything you want. Not every guest is like that. So,
and I enjoy the conversations, and we'll look forward to more fun conversations in the coming year.
We will continue to do that, especially the transportation conversations.
Oh, those will be bad ones.
Yeah. So, but it's thank you for what you do for the community, what you do here, and your willingness to come in and talk. And you're a great friend, and looking forward to another good year.
All right, you do the same. Have a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and every other happy that you want to stick in there.
City Councilman,
to you and your families.
City Councilman Matt Kelly. Thank you, Matt. That's it for Town Talk. We will see you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.